Morning again, everyone. I love watching the kids coming in with the cross, you know, and it's so wonderful. See this here, it seems so insignificant, but really, you know, it's speaking of Jesus dying, but as the kids are seeing, there's no body on this cross, and the kids are putting their wee verse on, in a sense, as children identifying themselves with Jesus, which is beautiful because Jesus said, suffer the little children. It doesn't mean make them suffer. It means allow them to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it wonderful to think that Jesus rejoices in what these children did this morning? It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we just thank God for that and for the children's participation. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we'll turn to God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us on this wonderful resurrection morning as we celebrate Jesus, Lord. You know, we know in reality it's just another Sunday, Lord God, in the calendar and in the events of life. But significantly, symbolically, Lord, it reminds us of Jesus risen from the dead. And we want to take that thought, Lord, this morning and carry it deep into our hearts, because our very hope, everything that as Christians we believe in, is based upon this truth. If people could prove that Jesus was not raised from the dead, then Christianity would be false. But Lord, they've tried for 1,985 years to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and they've continually failed, and they will continually fail, because the fact is, Jesus is alive. And we pray, Lord, that in your power this morning, you would come, Lord God, and minister to us as we turn to your word. Speak to us all, please. We thank you. Amen. Keith spoke last week on the crucifixion of Jesus, and he reminded us how after Jesus had died, and these are well-known stories, you can see it on all the different channels in Sky, you know, Jesus of Nazareth and the greatest story ever told, and all of the different Jesus films, that Jesus, after he died, his body was taken down, removed from the cross, and it was placed in a tomb belonging to a guy called Joseph from Arimathea. He was a rich guy who had a garden tomb, and Sandra and Tom and others are heading over to Israel later this year, which they keep reminding us about, making us jealous. But we'll just say to you, we've already been. and when you get the opportunity to go, you will go into Jerusalem and you will see what's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And this is supposedly where Jesus was, his body was placed. Load of old nonsense. Don't buy into that one. If you're going to go, and go to see it, but if you're going to go to the real possibility of what was the tomb of Jesus, it's in a garden, in a secluded area behind a bus station. And now you think that's a bit weird to say it that way, but Isaiah said, all you that pass by, to you is it nothing that the Messiah, that Jesus, should die. And at that bus station, they're all passing by just on the other side of that wall, and there's the empty tomb of Jesus. So his body was removed from the cross, and he was laid in a tomb belonging to a man called Joseph. And his disciples were really dismayed by these events. I mean, they'd been floating about with Jesus for 3 years. All of their hope, all of their aspirations in that sense, everything that they had really been excited about, was all just dismay now. Complete and utter dismay. All their hopes were dashed by these events. And in fact, they were hiding from the Jews, whom they thought might want to also arrest them because they had been followers and were followers of Jesus. All of their hopes, all of their dreams were dashed because Jesus, their Lord, was dead. Think about that. Because Jesus, their Lord, was dead. You know, most of us have loved ones who've died. And we felt really keenly, or in fact, we possibly still feel the pain of that loved one's loss. I don't really miss people, to be honest with you. But, you know, people do get that sense. Now, don't get me wrong, I haven't got a stone in here. When loved ones die, I'll weep, and there's that time of grieving and whatever else. But, you know, some people struggle to get over it, and maybe a photograph, a significant event, a date, you know, a memory still stirs something in us, reminding us that they're gone, and you feel that pang in your stomach, in your spirit, when you think about them, just for that moment. And I don't know if it's the same with you, but when someone dies, you're nearly guaranteed within a month that you're going to see them walking down Main Street. Now, I don't mean it's literally them, but you see someone, you think, for that moment, you think it's them. Maybe it's just out of the corner of your eye, you saw someone, and you just instantly think it's them. You know, there's a grave up at Clandeboy that says, "Death leaves a heartache no one can heal. Love leaves a memory no one can steal." Death leaves a heartache no one can heal. Love leaves a memory no one can steal. And so just for a moment this morning, and I want to make this clear, this is not to intrude on anyone's sense of loss or sadness about the death of a loved one. But let me ask you to do something this morning. I want you to imagine, and you could choose to close your eyes if you want to do this or whatever, it's up to you, but I wouldn't do it in case I shout boo. But imagine you're visiting a departed loved one's grave or their memorial place. Not everybody has graves. So you've gone, you're visiting that loved one's grave or memorial place, or perhaps maybe even, you know what, you're just sitting at home thinking about them. And while you're thinking about them, maybe even shedding a silent tear, just wishing that you could hear their voice or see their face one more time. Imagine while you're thinking of them, you hear them speak your name, and you turn to see them standing there. Imagine they say to you, "Don't weep for me. Don't be afraid. It's okay. I'm always near you." How wonderful, how precious would that be? One of my sisters, when my dad died, she wasn't able to come to the house as much. She was busy with other things and children to look after, whatever else, and she really felt she didn't get as much of an opportunity to go through the process of grieving as we were. We were in the house, we had the body there, we had people coming all the time to the door, there was something going on, you know, constantly until he was planted. And then, you know, she got a sense of, you know, I've missed out on something here. And she struggled with this, really struggled with it, and it was breaking her heart. And she was going at every opportunity, she was going to the grave, and she was there breaking her heart at the grave, at the sense of loss that she felt. Until one night, she had gone to bed, and she fell asleep weeping for our dad. And she said something like this, and I don't want to do any injustice to what happened, because I don't know exactly, it confused me at the time, but she said this, something like this. She said, "I was asleep. I was in my room, and I saw my room clear as day, as if I was awake." And she says, "And the bedroom door opened," and says, "and Dad walked in." She said, "He was a lot younger looking, a lot of stress and all was away from his face. His hair was darker, but she knew it was him. And he walked over to her bed and he said, 'Let me go.' And she wouldn't. And she reached for him to say, 'No, no.'" Didn't he get me in tears? She reached for him to say, "No, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to." And he says, "Let me go. It's okay. It's okay." And when she let go, she wept and wept and wept. But she woke up the next day and that burden was lifted. She didn't feel the need to be every day going to the grave. She didn't feel that same sense of loss or whatever else. There was something different happened. Well, you know, there's plenty of stories of people experiencing dreams, visions, or visitations of loved ones who've died. And I can't pretend to understand how or why these things happen. And neither can I have the brass neck to try to explain them away. All I can say as a note of caution is this: we should never accept as true a dream, a vision, or a visitation that contradicts what the Word of God says. Now, my sisters didn't contradict anything, but there are certain visions, dreams, and visitations that people get that contradict the Word of God. Discard them immediately. So let's turn to God's Word this morning, and we're in John chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 18, and I'll go through this now. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John he's talking about here, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came and following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to the brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and all the things that he had spoken to her. So imagine the scene here. It was still dark. It was almost dawn on the Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene, and we read from other Gospels, some other women went to the tomb of Jesus. But Mary got there first. And I suppose Mary, who had been forgiven much, loved much, wanted to go to be near Jesus, maybe to shed a silent tear, wishing that she could just hear his voice or see his face one more time. But to her surprise, and of course to her horror, when she got to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid, she saw the entrance stone had been removed and Jesus' body had gone. Someone had taken her Lord away. Mary ran and told Peter and John, who in turn came to the tomb. John got there first, and he only looked in, and he saw the linen cloths lying on the floor of the tomb. And when Peter arrived, he ran right into the tomb. He saw the burial cloths lying there, but the handkerchief that had covered Jesus' face was neatly folded by itself and set aside. We're told that when John saw these things, he believed. It's there in John's Gospel. When John saw these things, he believed. He believed what? Did he believe that maybe some medical students had taken the cadaver of Jesus for research purposes? Queen's University students seem to get away with it. Did he believe perhaps that grave robbers had stolen the body of Jesus? Well, I used to be a thief. And I can assure you, when I was robbing people's houses, I wasn't folding neatly away certain wee parts. Do you seriously think that if grave robbers had gone in to steal the body of Jesus, that they would have taken the time to take off the cloths, which was probably the most expensive thing in the tomb, and take off the face stroke head cloth, fold it up nice and neat, and set it to the side? Did he believe that the Jews or the Romans had taken the body of Jesus to bury it somewhere else? Because, you know, people had said that this man said he's going to rise again on the third day. And if that, them Christians, these believers, take this body and do this, everybody will believe this lie. So what we'll do is just take the body and we'll bury it somewhere else. Well, interestingly, when they were being asked what happened, they says, angels appeared and we just hit the deck and collapsed. And the Jews paid the Roman soldiers money and said, you tell people someone stole the body. And if this gets back to Pilate, we'll keep you covered. So why would they have done that? What did John believe when it said he believed? John believed Jesus was alive from the dead. But you know what? He just couldn't take it in. And we're told that Peter and John then returned home. Well, poor heartbroken Mary had returned to the home. Remember, she had ran to tell Peter and John and they had bolted to the tomb. Well, now she has come back and she's standing outside the tomb weeping. And you know, people do that all the time. Like in the story I told about my sister, people go to the gravesides or memorial places of loved ones and silently, silently weep, just to hear their voice one more time, just to see their face one more time. And as she wept, as Mary wept again, whether just will I look again and see have I got this wrong, she stooped down again and looked into the tomb. Only this time there were two angels inside, and they asked her, why are you weeping? Now, I have to say, when I read this, much grace and strength must have been given to Mary at this really sad time, because she didn't freak out. If I had gone to stand at my dad's grave or my ma's grave, and then suddenly two angels appear and say, oh, why are you weeping? I'd be away like a shot. I would have bolted. Mary didn't. She saw these people there. These were two angels who had come to make this wonderful truth known. And they asked her, why are you weeping? She must have got great grace and strength at this time. But you know what? Is it not true that many of us can testify how during some of the saddest times in our lives, when perhaps a loved one has died, that we too felt a sense of peace and strength that we hadn't known before? Why are you weeping? The angels asked. Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to. You see, she didn't believe. When John ran into the tomb and saw this, he believed. Mary, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to. Well, something distracted Mary. Perhaps she heard a footstep behind her. And when she turned around, she saw a man whom she thought was the gardener. And that could be a case of whatever way the light was shining as dawn was breaking. It could be just that Jesus didn't want her to see straight away. But she thought this man was the gardener. And he asked her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? You can see the build up for this. And she said to him, sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away. See her love for the Lord. Then if he had said, he's lying over there at the far side of the garden, she was going to go and whatever strength she could have had, she would have lifted Jesus and carried him to wherever he needed to go. Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away. Then he spoke her name, Mary. And immediately she knew it was Jesus. And I think Mary reached out and took a hold of Jesus and grabbed him and said, Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher, teacher. And I believe this because the words that Jesus said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, can be translated, stop clinging to me, you have to let me go. She was just so excited that her Savior, her Lord, was risen from the dead, and she was not going to let him go. Such was her love and her devotion for Jesus. Such was her joy and her amazement. Now that she had her Lord, whom she loved, back again, she was not for letting him go. Think about it. How would you feel if your loved one came back to you? Even in a dream, would you want to let them go? Jesus said to Mary, go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And in humble obedience, and I'm sure with a level of reluctance, she didn't want to let him go, but with humble obedience and great excitement, you could nearly see sparks from her feet as she was running to the house to tell them what had happened. Great excitement, Mary went and told the disciples she had seen the Lord. And we know that over the next hours, days and weeks, the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples on various occasions. As I said, you know, we all have loved ones who've died and loved ones that we greatly miss, and we wish we could hear their voice or see their face just one more time. And some of us might have experiences such as dreams or visions or visitations that help us or strengthen us. But again, I stress, we should never accept as true a dream, a vision, or a visitation that contradicts the Word of God. However, because of the wonderful truth which we celebrate today, that Jesus is risen from the dead, we are assured God the Father has accepted Jesus' sacrifice of himself as the perfect Lamb of God for the sin of the world. Jesus, who had not sinned, became sin for us in our place and died in our place. And he was raised again, as the Word of God says, for our justification. Meaning, Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive, whoever trusts in him is justified in God's sight. Just if I'd never sinned. Those who believe in Jesus are promised, even though they die, they shall live. They have everlasting life. All who die believing in Jesus and all who live believing in Jesus when he returns will one day be united forever with the Lord. There'll be no more crying there. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. But above all, there will be no more death there. However, Jesus doesn't want us to retrospectively stand brooding at his cross or tomb, weeping for him. He's not on the cross, and his tomb is empty. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he wants us, like Mary, to take a hold of him and not let him go until he has fulfilled his promise and brought us to be with him and with those loved ones who have died believing in him. And so, Christian, on this Resurrection Sunday, this is the greatest Sunday of the Christian calendar, because on Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Jesus risen from the dead. All our blessed hope is founded upon this fact. But because we know Jesus and therefore know he is alive, Christian, let's take a fresh hold of him today and purpose in our hearts never to let go of him until he has fulfilled his promises to us. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone on Facebook watching or listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a believer in Jesus. Well, let me tell you, the hope that is assured for every Christian is that one day we shall be forever with the Lord and forever with those loved ones who died believing in Jesus. But because you're not yet a Christian, you don't have this hope, and you cannot own the promise of eternal life with the Lord. But let me tell you what the Word of God says this morning. This promise is for you if you want it. All you need to do, like Mary, is take a hold of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and don't let him go until he fulfills every promise for you. Confess your sin. That means agree with God that you are a sinner. Believe Jesus has paid your debt in full. Turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus, who is risen from the dead for your justification. Let's pray. Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday again, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is risen from the dead. Thank you that the first person that he made himself known to was Mary Magdalene. How wonderful, Lord, that she could cry out, Rabboni, teacher. That she could take a hold of you, Jesus. And you had to say to her, stop clinging to me, let me go. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit revealed to us who know you that you are alive, that you are seated at God's right hand. And thank you, Lord, like Mary, we have by faith taken a hold of you, and we will not let you go until you have fulfilled all of your promises to us. Help us, Lord, in the very sad times in life, in the joyous times, always to make sure that we have a hold of you. Because, Lord, we can be sure you always have a hold of us. We pray for anyone who doesn't yet know you, Lord, that on this Resurrection Sunday they would purpose in their hearts to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, and that they, Lord God, would take a hold of you in faith, put their trust in you, and have life forevermore. We ask this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.